The book of Jeremiah, tonight, chapter number 3. We're going to be reading Jeremiah. We're also going to go to a minor prophet called Hosea. And we're going to start in Jeremiah, read just a few verses there, the third chapter, verse number 6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen which backsliding Israel hath done? She's gone upon every high mountain, under every green tree, and there played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw one for all the causes whereby backsliders in Israel committed adultery. I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass, through the lightness of her whoredom, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. That simply means set up idols, images, amen, and idolatry. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but faintly said the Lord, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backslide in Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go, proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backslide in Israel, saith the Lord, and I'll not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I'm merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Turn with me to the book of Hosea, the last chapter in that book, which is 14. We're going to read just a very few verses. Hosea 14, verse number 1. O Lord, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words. Turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We'll not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. Ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless find mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. Here we have a warning proclaimed by two prophets. One a major prophet, Jeremiah, the other a minor prophet, Hosea, to return to the Lord. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to the backslider. You know, every once in a while, we have to go, amen, and reach out to those who have, amen, wandered away and for whatever reason, amen, have actually backslid in heart. Now, I know it's hard to even fathom ones that are backslid that they are that way, but if you study the Word of God, Israel backslid many, many, many times. And, amen, we're not immune to it today. Amen, it's very, very easily, amen, getting our eyes where we had not to have them, either on somebody or something, amen, to digress, amen, from the lofty experience we once had with the Lord. What is a backslider? Most everybody knows. It's one who turns away, one who turns back, one who forsakes God and the right way, one who, the Bible says, crucifies Jesus again, again, and again. And also the backslider is one who is filled with self. You read in Proverbs, the 14th chapter and the 14th verse, says the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Backsliding is a sign of heart failure, and it starts in the heart. I say every once in a while, it's needful to talk to the backslider and try to persuade them to turn from their, to turn from their ways, amen, and return to the blessedness that there is in serving God. There are ones who forsake God. Some forsake God for the fear of reproach. They actually feel embarrassed to serve God. Amen. They actually feel embarrassed to dress modest, to have long hair, to carry a Bible, to pray over a meal, to even engage in conversation about someone's soul. It's amazing that the ones, amen, who are troubled over dressing different, amen, and being amongst people in the world. Some people can't handle that. They just cannot handle that. Amen. And some people, you never see them carry a Bible to church. When I see that, I question, where do they carry it? The truth is, they don't carry it. Amen. Don't be ashamed of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul let us know he wasn't ashamed of, amen, the gospel. The real reproach is not serving God, but rather living in sin. That's the real reproach. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Others backslide, give up on God for the love of pleasure. Others for their own profit. Whatever the reason, amen, a backslider is one who is forsaken, the one who has the words of life. John, the 6th chapter, verse 66. Jesus is in conversation with his apostles and those that would be followers. But the scripture says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Will you follow the masses, the crowd? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. When you turn from the godly influence of the Lord or the Holy Spirit, from the services, Church of God, you throw your heart wide open to deceit and even deceiving your own selves. I believe there's ones that deceive their own selves. They're so used to living in that lukewarm state. Amen. They're so used to living on a lower plateau than what God has got for them that they seem satisfied. They seem satisfied. They seem to feel, amen, that they're doing all right. They're doing the best that they can. Amen. But I want to tell you, God has got plenty for you. Plenty for each and every one, amen, who wants to be stretched out in their experience. Amen. God will not make you stay saved. Nope. either provided a way or you don't have to backslide. But he's not going to make you stay saved. Remember this, he let the prodigal go. He let the prodigal have his own liberty, his freedom. Amen. Knowing, amen, that it wouldn't be long and he would spend all and be a companion to the swine. When you convince God that you want to live after the flesh, he's not going to stand in your way. In fact, he's a gentleman that will probably just let you have your own way. But when you do that, you throw your soul wide open to every passion, every lust, every perversion, evil desire that there is. I know what I'm talking about tonight because I backslid one time. When I first got started on the 6th Street, I told you the story. We took a vacation, went to upstate New York, and I thought everybody there would be so overwhelmed that Roger has accepted Christ. But it wasn't that way. And through my own negligence, hanging around the wrong people, following the wrong people, wound up, amen, back in the gutter again. But I always told myself this, I'm not going to do the things I did before. I'm not going to go that far. Well, I not only went that far, I went farther. And Father, once you've tasted the good things of God, there's nothing out here in the world that even comes close to satisfying. Amen. You always wind up in worse shape. Amen. And I can remember my heart condemning me, my conscience condemning me continually. I worked at Rockwell. And I had some friends there. I had one friend that was I worked with there at the factory. He was a Nazarene. And I still have communication with him once in a while. He was a Nazarene, and he told me, he said, Roger, you need to come out to the Nazarene church. And his name was Jim. I said, Jim, I said, I know I'm not right with God. But if I ever want to get right with God, I know exactly where I need to go. God protected me from that. He invited me to revivals, and he was a very good friend, and he met well, amen, by doing that. But once you've tasted the good things of God, amen, and the place where I found God, I wasn't about to just go transfer to any other place. Now, the flesh is weak. Oh, yes, it is. There's no strength in the flesh. Jesus said, John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. And that's exactly what happens when you don't have Christ. Without Jesus, you're powerless when it comes to living righteously. Those that are saved, you know this is true. You know you were doing the best you could before you got saved. But that wasn't good enough. There is no strength or power in the flesh to live right. Amen. There are ones crying out for liberty. My, how I've heard that before. Brother Decker, you're too strict. You're too dogmatic. And on it goes. Amen. And so we want to go over here where we can do the things we want to do. We can go over here where we can, amen, there's not so much emphasis on standard, amen, and on these dogmatic issues you bring up. And they cry for liberty. And the Bible tells us we can have liberty in Galatians 5:13. He said, you're called into liberty. Only don't use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But by love, serve one another. Christian liberty always carries a warning label stamped on it. Danger. Don't use to free the flesh. There are false prophets, just like in Peter's day, promising liberty. But their liberty is to be conformed to this world, rather than overcome it. What kind of liberty should we enjoy as Christians? Well, the same book, same chapter, Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. People, going right back to the things that Christ set them free from in the beginning, they become entangled again. To become entangled means to get caught up in, to get involved in again. Why do one seemingly go deeper? You know, they go deeper into sin when they backslide. I know of several instances, and I'm sure you do, where people once had a great experience, and then you hear the results of them when they backslide. Amen, the depths that they go. Why is it? They're sinning against light. They're sinning against knowledge. I told you earlier, once you've tasted and enjoyed the good things of God and turn away, there's a driving force of darkness shoving your soul rapidly to a lost eternity. Also, the flesh is never, never satisfied. It will never have enough. That's why I instruct you young people, when you're dating, be careful. Be careful. The flesh is never satisfied. Amen. It's not going to be satisfied with a little peck on the cheek. No, no, no. It's not going to be satisfied with holding the hand. Amen. No. The flesh is going to want more, more, more. To the place, if you don't keep it under, you get in trouble. 2 Peter 2:20. Amen. I say it's never good. And never a good ending for one who turns away from following the Lord and leaves this lost world. Amen. It's never. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Peter, the second chapter. A very good scripture. It lays it right out before us. 2 Peter 2 and verse number 20. For if after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Amen. Now Hosea gives us a picture of the soul that leads the truth of God's word. He said, they shall eat, not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase. Amen. Because they left off to take heed to the Lord. Sin can never satisfy the soul of man, but it makes the partaker feel as though it can. Amen. Dear ones, tonight, don't fool around with the habits of life. Those that are old enough know better, but young people, there's always peer pressure out there of someone to try to get you to just take a little drag. Just a little drag isn't going to hurt you. That way you can always say that you know what a cigarette is. Amen. It's like, just one little drag. That's all you take. Or just take this little just take one of these marijuanas. Just one, just take a drag, and you can always say, well, I know what marijuana's like. Or take a little drink. Come on, just a sip. You don't have to drink the whole thing, but just take a little sip. Now, I can remember when I got started, and I got started that very way, especially with tobacco. When you first smoke a cigarette, you get sick. You about gag yourself to death. Why? The body's not used to something foreign like that, and it rejects it. I used to go into the bars with my dad and waiting for him when he got off from work, and I'd go in the bars with him, and I was young enough yet, 14 or 15, so I was still eating peanut butter cups and taking a sip of beer. Now, they don't go together at all. One is one extreme and the other extreme. But that's how I got started. And the next thing you know, as you get older, you get 16, you get a license, amen, you go out, you think it's macho to get involved in these things, not knowing that those things get a grip. And all the money I spent on alcohol, tobacco, not drugs, other than unless you count cigarettes, but I've never into drugs because if I'd known it was prevalent, I probably would have tried them. But I think of all the money I spent, how many weeks I came home after working overtime and have no money in my pocket. It cost you. Sin's costly, isn't it? Amen. And the habits I had. My car stunk, my clothes stunk, the house stunk, everything stunk from tobacco. Amen. And I had a cough, and I didn't even realize it, but when I got saved, I didn't even realize how that cough straightened all up. Had it no more. And you actually could, I wasn't ashamed to let somebody get my automobile now on. But these habits, young people, stay away from them. Don't let somebody entice you, amen, to even take a drag on a cigarette. Don't let sinners entice you to commit sin. Don't let sinners entice you to disobey God. But rather stand firm. You'll be so glad that you did. So glad. Now, it's very dangerous for one to backslide. You know one of the greatest dangers of backsliding? There's a great chance you won't make it back. There's a great chance that you're going to be lost and lost forever. Backsliding always starts where salvation starts, in the heart. The spiritual heart becomes weak, unable to stand the pressures of temptation. Now, there are some signs that begin to appear when the heart grows weak. And when backsliding starts to work on you, it usually reveals some signs to you that it's working. One of the first signs I know of is neglect. Hebrews 2 and 3, how shall we escape? We neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Neglect. Neglect. Just a little bit to start with. Just a little neglect. Neglect to keep up your spiritual exercises. Nobody likes to exercise, do they? Well, Amen. If you want to stay trim like I am, you need to exercise. Exercise is spoken of in the Bible. Do you know that? 1 Timothy 4 and 7, refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself, what? Unto godliness. Acts 24 and 16, herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. To exercise is to train, to take the armor that God has provided and exercise yourself to be a good soldier. The first thing that happened when we hit Paris Island, was what? Exercise. 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 You run here, you run there. I didn't know what it was to walk. You run everywhere, even in the barracks. In the barracks, out of the barracks. Amen. You run to chow. You run here. You run up to the exercise field. Exercise. And then there's something else that affects a Christian. Discontentment. Bored. Do you know why you get bored? You don't apply yourselves. You just can't come ho-hum to services. You need to apply yourself and get into the service yourself. Amen. You become bored. Amen. Discontented. 1 Timothy 6 and 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. And then there's something else that begins to appear. Guess what it is? Love for the world. I told a brother, and I told you this, Brother Dishman's who it was. I told him how the world can get a hold of you. And it's got a vice grip to it. When the world gets a hold of you real good, you just don't jerk away from it. You just don't walk away from it. It's got a tremendous hold and a grip. And it'll keep you right there and take you deeper, deeper, and deeper. It'll make you think, I'll just do this one more time, but then I'm going to quit. The world. Now we know what John had to say about the world. He's not talking necessarily just about the world that we live in. Amen. He's talking about those worldly things that affect, amen, your ability to live for God. He says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. When you get out there in the world seems like it has a billboard of all glitter. You know how those billboards can be built up? Amen. Like used to be. I guess they've done away with that now. Welcome to Marlboro Country. And I guess that man that they used in that died of lung cancer. And then it shows the man, the beautiful woman, and a bottle of Seagram 7. Amen, whiskey. Saying the two go together. All these billboards are glitter. Amen. And then when the backslider gets saved from those things, amen, and you had victory over them when you get saved, when you begin to backslide, they take on a new glitter. I can truthfully say I've never been tempted with a cigarette since I've been saved. I can truthfully say that. I have never been tempted with a bottle of beer or alcohol since I've been saved, and I say that right before God. Amen. It was a wonderful deliverance. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes people, when they get saved, they struggle. But the main thing is keep struggling. Keep staying in there. The world seems so exciting to the backslider. More and more room is made for worldliness, justification. Amen. Justifying wrong. The Bible lets us know, James 4 and 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Listen, church. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know, I've talked to a lot of people that's not doing well. And my, what a change in theory they have for when they was doing well. It seems like they make allowance for everything. Why is that? To justify their own condition. But there's something else that takes a hold of one when they backslide. This is a sign. We got a sign out front. Well, this is a sign. What is it? A critical spirit. Was a time when you could accept people. You could accept their ways or failures. Now things have begun to change. You have been guilty of talking to ones who you know are critical, and that spirit has gotten a hold of you also. What happens when it comes in? A singer can't sing it good enough for you. You start getting critical of the singers. Oh, I heard that quartet, and that one drifted right over on the other one's part. That probably did happen. If I was singing in it, it probably would happen. But you're critical. Amen. Critical of, amen, of preachers. I give you plenty of room. You got plenty of room to criticize me. But they get critical. Critical of Sunday school teachers. Critical of instrument players. Everywhere they look with a critical spirit. The Church of God is not what it used to be. Well, let me ask you this. Are you what you used to be? Because you're part of the church. Critical of the Sunday school teachers, the helpers, the pastors, the operation of the church. They spent money on all this and we needed this. Watch out. Be careful. Let me say this. You don't know anything about the handling of the finances of the church. You think, amen, some people just think money, you go out and just pluck it off a tree somewhere. And you buy this and you buy that. We do our best. And I want to tell you something. We got the best treasurer and secretary you could possibly get anywhere back in them in offices. Very good men. I don't know if what few checks I write, the checks they write back there is astronomical. But people become critical. And you know, people that are critical usually are miserable. And then there's those people who lose their discernment of right and wrong. People get more excited sometimes about rubbish and trash than they do spreading the truth of God's word. Many times those that are backsliding have more confidence in what people say that have left the church than in the truth. What else is a sign? Lack of temperance. Uncontrolled lust and desires. Uncontrolled temper. You lose your temper? Lose your temper to the place you start throwing things. Even to the place of saying things you had not to say. uncontrolled mouth. What else is a sign? You become a little bit shady in your dealings, as if you're justified in doing so. Such as the dreaded day of the year when we have to file income tax. Watch out. Somebody said, well, the government doesn't spend the money right. That's got nothing to do with you doing right. Taking, amen, writing down things to be exempt for that you really didn't do. Giving this much when you really didn't give it. Signs of backsliding. Dishonesty. When people get dishonest, they can lie easier than they can tell the truth. Do you know a liar is not going to make it to heaven? Do you know that? A liar is going to wind up lost. Little lies. Little bigger lies. White lies. Any kind of shading of the truth. Now, a lie is you know the truth and say contrary. It's not repeating something that was not true. For example, I could have thought something was true and repeat it. Amen. But I wasn't doing that intentionally. I did it because I thought it was true. And I need to clear that up. But to tell a lie, it must first be premeditated. All liars have a place, and they're going to go to the same place that maybe lesbians, homosexuals go. A liar will be squeezed right in there with them. Revelation 21 and 8 says this, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part, where? In the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, or eternal separation from God. All liars take in these half-truths you tell. You know, some people mix just a little truth in it, so you can't come read it back and say, oh, you told a lie. Well, I thought it was right, you know. This really did happen. Half-truths. You come to an altar, and you even lie to God. You're backsliding. Backslid. When you come to an altar, of all places you especially need to be truthful, it's there. Why? You're not dealing with the altar worker. You're dealing with God. What else is a sign? Lack of interest in the conversion of souls. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Romans 10 and 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for his who is, that they might be saved. Not interested in the missions. Could care less about saints that are unfortunate in this life. Your neighbor could die. The saints could die. And Church of God, we need to brush up on funerals. Now, I know people work, and there's times when you can attend, but I'm talking to those of us that can attend these funerals. Somebody lives for God here in this congregation, or is a member of this congregation, maybe for years. The saints should show up. Amen. Be right there to encourage the family. Amen. And help and comfort the family and be a support. Some don't even go to the funeral home during the calling hours. Why? Some people say they're too busy. Lastly, This is a sign just about through. No desire to be around spiritual people. You hang around those who are not really what they need to be, spiritually speaking. Why do you think they do that? It lists a condemnation, and you can be free to talk about whatever you want because they're in the same condition you're in. Spiritual people seek out those who they feel also is spiritual. Has God cast off the backslider? No. Can a backslider come back to God and receive forgiveness? Absolutely. Jeremiah 3:12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I'll not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Here's the steps. Only acknowledge thy iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under the green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. What is it? Return, acknowledge, and turn yourself toward the work of God. Return to the Lord, acknowledge you sin, and turn from all those things you know is wrong. Well, what will the Lord do? Verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I'm married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, two of a family, and what you gonna do? Bring you to Zion, or type of the church. Bring you to Zion. Reinstate you as a member in good standing in the church of God. When you return, acknowledge with all honesty your true condition. Amen. When you need to be really, I stress this again, be honest with God. Don't come to God and give him some frivolous excuse on why you quit serving him. It was because of this one, because of that one. No, you got lean. Neglect is a forerunner. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding. We're bringing the message to a close. Like I say, I'm not up here accusing people of being backslid. But if it's starting to work in your life, you need to nip it. Nip it quickly. Why? Because eventually it's going to pull you right back to the old life again, and you'll be in worse shape. Trust the Lord all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding. Do you have a need? Truthfully answer that before God. Do you have a need tonight? Are you beginning to slip? Are you beginning, instead of going forward, starting to go backward in your experience? If so, and we're going to sing, return to the Lord, do that which is right before you get yourself in a place where it seems almost impossible to repent. Don't get that place. Don't get the place where you got to struggle and struggle and struggle to get a hold of God. I've worked with people and prayed with people and prayed with people and prayed with people, amen, who have got themselves in such a shape, amen, that they cannot hardly have any faith in God to get their soul straightened out. You never want to get to that place. But if you're here tonight, I bring you some signs and want to help you. I love you as a congregation, and I want to be truthful to you. But if some of these things are starting to work in your life, take care of it. I trust you take care of it. Amen. You ought to be wise enough to know you can't let that thing continue, or it's going to take you down. If there's been neglect in your life, admit that. You don't have to get up here front and tell everybody you've been neglectful, but talk to the Lord about it. Any of these things, plus things that I didn't even mention, are working in your life, church, take care of it. Let us stand.